First order of business is House Bill 323. Where's the red pen? Oh, here's the representative booth.
You see, probably in conflict here. Red pen.
We're going to take up the bill, sir. Would you like to come and...
If I may have counsel with me? Appreciate it.
Bring anybody you want.
Thank you. Sure, please take care. Chairman, I'm Representative Booth, and it's my committee that recently put together the residency bill concerning the legality of some of the sections in it. We cleaned up quite a bit of it. Came out of the House, the floor of the House, with about 5 amendments on it. I didn't agree with any of them because it put back in the unconstitutionality of some of them. I understand that it has been through the Senate Finance, and they have taken it out. Is that correct? State Affairs, rather. And they have eliminated it. I believe it is back to the original now. Any exceptions to that? Any consequences? It's now before you in its original, just about in its original form. I'd be very happy to answer any questions.
I see under Section 9 you didn't really do everything the State Affairs said to do, Mr. Maynard. We told you to put it back to 65.
That's one of the ones that was the State Affairs did not make. In the State Affairs Committee, they raised the hunting the age for free hunting fishing license to 65.
Yes, okay, fine. I'm sorry.
I object to that. Your objection?
Well, I think there'd be a conflict of interest, Mr. Chairman.
But, yeah.
I might not ever make it to 65, but I can't get it.
What about the residency for homesteaders?
The original, the bill that came out of House State Affairs had eliminated the 3-year residence requirement for homestead applications. I believe that's the one we're discussing. On the House floor, they had put back in a 3-year requirement. That was one of the amendments on the
it's
House.
It's no longer contained in the State Affairs, right?
It's no longer contained in the State Affairs. It is now back to 1 year.
It's 1 year?
3 was unconstitutional.
And was there another thing that we considered in State Affairs? Was there something under scholarship loan? Or was
one amendment that was made in the State Affairs was a provision that gave the Post-Secondary Education Commission the authority, if the court rules that the 2-year residency requirement is unconstitutional.
What section is that?
This is in section 17.
17?
It gives the commission the power to put in a interim regulation that will be as stringent a residency requirement as the court may allow. If this bill passes without that section in it, section 1 of the bill would automatically make the residency requirement for the student loan program 30 days. And this section will allow the commission to.
And under section 16, did we consider the 2 years was valid?
And this is consistent with, I think, House Bill 302 on fishing loan programs. We believe that 2 years is a defensible requirement. It's a defensible requirement, not quite as strong as a student loan 2 years, but probably the only other situation where we can legitimately attempt to have a longer than 1 year requirement.
This is a question to see if what the answer is, because it might come down to that. What is the difference between a veteran and a fisherman? A veteran has 1 year and a fisherman has 2 years.
The main difference between the two, Mr. Chairman, is that in trying to figure out a legal defense for a longer than 1 year residency requirement, the argument for fishermen and for students is that the population that you're serving is recognized as a mobile population, where living in one place or being in one place for a year may not carry with it the presumption that they intend to remain there or make the place their home. It's very strong for students. Again, for fishermen, it's not quite as strong, but still defensible. And it's not true with regard to veterans or other classes of populations, or at least the factual basis for that assumption is not there.
I remember that same argument in State Affairs. I wondered if you perhaps changed it. I just wanted to hear this.
Not this week.
So the only difference from the original bill, unamended, is the 65, right?
From the Senate State Affairs draft is from 60 to 65. There are some other changes from the original House bill. There were technical cleanup changes,
right,
that were
accepted. As the State Affairs did not, I know that we voted on, and I would like it, the State Affairs bill to be changed to 65.
What I have right now, I have not gotten a copy of the committee substitute of the State Affairs. This is simply a draft that I have in front of me. I checked this morning.
I'm looking at it.
Oh, it was? It really came out of State Affairs?
Yes.
I remember that 65 too.
What do you think? Did it come out of there?
It came out of the Okay, here's a reason. According to Billy Barrier, it doesn't fit under the title. Okay, we'll make the amendment. We'll make the amendment read. We'll change the language in somewhere in line 6 or 7. On page 6, Mr. Mayor, can you follow?
Yes.
Reword it so that you include the word resident in the amendment, in the new language. Somewhere in that section, you have to include the word resident or residency requirements in the amendment.
To make the change to 65?
Yeah.
What are we doing there?
What's the policy underlying changing 60 to 65?
Well, it was thought of that committee, and it happens they wanted to concur with it, 65 as a median retirement age. And that's, without the 30-year kicker on it, there's no value.
Or are you going to grandfather me in because I have one piece of it?
No, I'm not.
You mean I have to surrender?
No. You have an effective date clause in there, don't you?
No.
Yeah. You run down there and just like I did, I forgot all about the license, Bob, where I was more amenable.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, that's the main reason it was changed to 65, since you and I both bought our fishing license.
I think that was it.
How are you going to do?
And put the effective date clause on section 9 in January 1st.
83?
No.
87.
84. Can you do that, Mr. Mayor?
I can ask Mr. Berry to do so. I have little control of Mr. Berry's.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the... But we can change the language around there, because 65 is the accepted retirement age. And,
A serious question.
Yes, sir.
It just so happens that I am a case in point. But is there no way that you could grandfather those people who have already taken advantage of the 60-year age and obtain one of these licenses, which is a lifetime proposition? Mr. Maynard, I should direct the question to him, I suppose. But it doesn't seem right to me to grant a privilege to somebody away with it.
We'll consider that when we consider the drinking age.
Well, I mean, I'm serious about
so
that.
So am I.
I don't think that's right.
Well, how about the drinking age?
Well, I feel the same way about that, too. I think you should grandfather these people in. You know that.
Okay, but I don't... Certainly last...
But back to the concern of the change. Well, do you still have a question of title change?
What about it?
Well, the question that Lieutenant Berry brought up relative to the change in 60 to 65, would that require a title change?
Yes. No. Not if they include in the new language someplace the word resident or residency requirements. They wouldn't.
Mr. Chairman, wouldn't that make a difference in that they're rather synonymous the way it's written?
Well, that's what the
resident.
Barrier said that, and the resident is, he claims that by changing the year has nothing to do with the resident, which it doesn't.
Mr. Chairman, I think Mr. Barrier's objection will probably continue to be kept whether or not we change the entire sentence or not. That's the only problem that I can perceive.
Well, if we can change the language and put new language in there that says either the word resident or resident requirements, I don't care what he says. And they'll
look.
That's
our
only chance, Bob. They'd be clear
and unconstitutional. You're not
addressing me. Well, in order to be fair, completely fair, I would accept an amendment if somebody wants to propose an amendment. See, nobody said that.
Well, I'm not prepared to propose it at this time, but I'd like to have the right visitor to propose one off the floor.
Well, you always have that, but...
Yeah, I know, but I don't want to get crosswise with you.
No. Sorry. You'll get crosswise with me maybe if you put it on the floor rather than here.
Well, then...
If you try it here and it fails, then you would have the perfect right to do it.
Well, give me some time, then. Is there any big lecture?
I have a couple of questions while he's thinking that.
Yes.
Maybe Mr. Maynard or Representative Booth can tell me this, but in looking at Section 18, in the sexual analysis, I'm wondering why we repeal these residency requirements. I think I can answer that. I mean, before you do that, I can understand that maybe actual low-cost housing has to be repealed because of the impediments to interstate travel for poor people or something like that, but what about the guide regulations and state land sale discounts? I mean, why isn't there a 30-day or one-year residency requirement reserved in those cases?
To the chair, there are two types of problems being taken care of. One type of problem is the privileges and immunities problem, which is where the right to have a job, these are the guide license and the embalmers, and the other ones, where it is a profession, where we're regulating a profession, the court has said that where you're regulating a fundamental right, like a profession, you cannot require a person to be a resident of that state. Even requiring them to be a resident causes constitutional problems. And so for those repealers that are dealing with the guide license, with the transporter license, the embalmers, those are repealing the residency requirements to conform to the Alaska U.S. Supreme Court recent ruling on that particular matter.
Well, are other states doing that? Are we because of the Zobel case, stepping in here while other states are...
This was not a result of the Zobel case. This is a result of one of the recent cases in the Alaska Supreme Court, Noel v. State Bar. In that case, there was a 30-day residency requirement to take a state bar or become a lawyer, and the court said that was unconstitutional. Same reasoning applies to other residency matters, whether or not some other states may or may not be doing what we're doing here. The other matters there, that the ASHA low-cost housing, those are not repealing the residency requirements. What those provisions are doing is, in most statutes, you have one statute that says you must be a resident, and another statute that defines a resident to be a one-year, two-year, three-year, whatever it may be. Those other repealers are repealing the definition of residency, and that would still require people to be a resident as a result, and Section 1 of the bill would have a standard residency definition of 30 days.
just to follow up on that, to Senator Josephson, there are some other rules and regulations that are really put in there for qualifications of a certain occupational residency, such as the case of in the guiding, they want them to know the country, to know the area. Yeah. Same thing with the embalmers. You've got to be under a licensed embalmer or an undertaker for a period of a year before you can do it. That isn't exactly, that's not a residency situation.
Experience.
That's an experience or a qualification.
So if, in other words, if I was a guide in Louisiana and came to Alaska, I couldn't get my assistant guide license. I'd have to...
In 30 days, no.
I'd have to put an apprenticeship in or something to show my familiarity with Alaska.
That's true.
You can require the person to be familiar with the area, you just can't require to be a resident in addition to being surrounded.
What about homesite entry? Is there any experience or knowledge of the area?
No, not.
I have a problem on page one, and I have this problem all through state affairs, and I let it soften up, and now it's... starting on line 22, I think that the whole section there is not very well drafted in my estimation.
To the chair.
With the intent to do this and so on.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, that's basically a restatement of what the common law in the area is. I didn't draft it, so.
Mr. Chairman, can I follow up? Up in that a moment. If you'll note it in line 10, what is a residency? It refers very specifically, and that is the situation with the intent to remain. By being physically present, with the intent to remain means you buy a driver's license so you can get a home, a loan, or something of this nature, to show an intent. Taking it back down to 22, if he does leave and he goes out and he establishes and he buys a home out in another state, he has a loan for the house in another state, out of state, he cannot maintain two residences. That would show that he does not have an intent to live here. Now, I don't know how you could clarify those statements. It would be an intent to live someplace else, it seems. So I don't know how you could clear that up any better than what performs other acts. I don't know how to...
Everything is so vague, so I'm getting mad. Or is absent under... circumstances were inconsistent with the intent required under A of this section. What does that mean? What would be inconsistent?
Well, in the case of a man in the service, if a man is in the service and he lives outside, his home is here, but he's got to live out there, out in the States. He's a serviceman. He still maintains his residence here. That would not be in conflict with that. Or illness, he goes to a hospital for a year outside, he's saying. Still has his residency because of these particular reasons. He's still a resident of the state. And that is not inconsistent with the
term military. Term. It would be what he designates as his permanent place of abode when he signs over.
Yeah, he has to sign a 5. Suppose he's got a 4-year hitch and he puts Juneau as his home. And they could go to Timbuktu for 4 years and still is his home, and that's where he comes back at the end.
Right. He's still a resident of this state.
Well, maybe it's on line 23, during an absence. We're talking about a temporary deal, aren't we, really?
Well, what is, again, how do you define temporary? Is temporary 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, or temporary if you're sick in the hospital for 2 years under special treatment, for instance?
That would
be temporary.
No. what you're referring to there comes on line 25, or prefers other acts, or is absent under circumstances are inconsistent. Well, I mean, if a guy was in the hospital, he had to stay there for 2 years, it wouldn't be inconsistent. He just has to stay there.
Well, another act that's physical and physical, I think, would be by voting someplace else.
Or if you go to another state and they have residency requirements, you satisfy them, I mean, you become an embalmer there, or...
You're still... That's performing an act not consistent with the intent of a resident of this state.
Of being physically present, with the intent to remain indefinitely. See what I mean? You kind of almost got a You feel that at all, sir?
Yeah, I feel that way, but I don't know the alternative.
I don't know how to.
The law is that way.
I don't. Yeah, the whole. That's
the
right, sir.
That's the law. The law is. How do you, what does that mean?
It means flexibility.
This either your fingers are sore or you're dry on your fingernail polish. I don't know
which. Ain't the latter, Chairman.
Oh, okay.
I just don't think, Mr. Chairman, you can tighten that down and still leave the latitude that we must have within the residency scope of the bill entirely, in its entirety.
I might point out, Mr. Chairman, that there's a number of programs where you would be giving the flexibility to the individual administrators to decide for that program what may or may not be indications of or intent to be a resident elsewhere. Like, for example, the student loan program, yeah, if somebody claims in-state tuition.
Well, how does that work now, Mr. Chairman? I just had a letter from a constituent who is admitted to law school, who was born and raised in Alaska, and got a teaching job with the federal government in Germany, and spent, I think, 2 years working for the Defense Department. He's come back to Alaska, and he's been ruled ineligible for a student loan to go to law school now because he spent 2 years abroad working for the government. If this language becomes the law, I could advise him to go back to the student loan commission and try again on the facts of this case.
I'm not positive, because I think the student loan program, this section one, is superseded by any particular provisions in particular programs. And I think the student loan statutes have their own particular provisions that would supersede this this section one.
Thanks, Frankie.
Frankie and Johnny.
It's Frankie and Billy.
So I was thinking it was a cohort.
You know, am I making too big a thing out of this, Joe? But it seems to me this is so loose.
Mr. Chairman, I don't, in view of the timing and the importance of the bill itself, maybe we could give it some further thought on study over the interim and maybe we change it next year, but
I wouldn't want to do that.
We tried to tighten this thing down. We really did. I worked with Susan Burke on it. I worked with Mr. Maynard, and we still didn't.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think it's too much of a problem because Mr. Maynard indicates that in some of these laws there are specific tests of residency which aren't changed. Where there are no specific tests, you apply this, but it does allow the agency administering the program to make a case-by-case determination using this as a guideline. And we can't anticipate all the cases, so that's probably as good a job as the rest of them.
Basically, Mr. Chairman, the intent of this whole section was to just state in the statute the common law test of residency, and that and there are in particular statutes, like the student loan statute and other ones, more comprehensive plans for that program that supersede this Section 1. Section 1 only applies when a statute says resident and doesn't further define it. And it does not.
Well, what I'm trying to get at is that I wonder if it's covered. We had such a hard time here with the fishermen's loans. We have people, the Douglas Post Office had perhaps 150 post office boxes that were claimed from Alaska residents. And the guys weren't living there at all, and that's how they get their loan. In other words, they established the residency, and they got their loan, and they were fishing down in Oregon and Washington, and that's where they lived. But they used as their home address, as their legal address, Post Office Box 427 Douglas. We remember all that big hubbub we had there. There was something like 300 and some loans from people that were just post office boxes over there.
Mr. Chairman, language like this would allow you to get to those types of people, whereas if you tightened it down and you made specific instances of what wasn't a resident, there'd always be a loophole somewhere.
Right.
Let's get over to Section 9 again. I proposed an extremely rough draft language, an amendment, and if I have any support for it, then I can give it to Mr. Maynard, and perhaps he'll take a look at it and put it in more refined, polished language. I proposed adding a sentence along these lines on line 14 on page 6. A person who had obtained a type license described in this section after having attained that person's 60th birthday and prior to the effective date of this act shall remain unaffected by the provisions of this section, and that person's license need not be forfeited or surrendered. I think that's no more than fair to those people between 60 and 65.
How does that take care of me?
Well, how old are you, kid?
61.
Well, you should first write out and take one.
Quick, but I already got a regular license.
Well, that's your fault.
Can we get a refund, Mr. Chairman?
Yes?
Can we get a refund?
Now it's getting more powder. My position, Senator, you got a motion?
I was going to move the amendment to M substantially was formed because it raised the idea of what I'm trying to do.
The intent of Senator Ziegler's amendment, and correct me if I'm wrong, is to grandfather those who already have licenses.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All stated.
You move the amendment, sir?
Yes, sir.
How many in favor? Opposed?
Yeah, I just think that the 60-year-old should have it. I don't think we should raise 5 years.
You think the 60-year-old should have it?
Yeah.
Then you should have voted for his amendment.
No, you didn't say that.
You just mean 60.
He's grand, yeah, right. The way the language is written here in the bill, I don't know what you're amending, because of what language I see say 60 years, says 60 years of it.
Right. Well, they're going to change that. They just agreed to
it. Well, we haven't.
You got
changed it.
You got some 30,000 residents, you know, in that age group. Oh, I don't think you don't. You got 16,000 from 65 on. Remember? 15,000, they say. That's what they claim, so you know that they got to have that many between 60 and 65.
I mean, if they have 65 to 95,
well, oh, yeah, but how many guys are 65 to 95?
Mr. Chairman, to clear up any misunderstanding between Senator Olson and me, the amendment was predicated upon the fact that the final version of this bill, when it's brought forth, the 60 would change to 65, and I agree with you that that decision has already been made to change it.
But he doesn't want it to change to 65. He wants to leave it at 60.
I would agree with that too. But we've been out of rule someplace.
Well, that happens. I agree with Senator.
Mr. Chairman,
would you want me to void the vote on the amendment, Senator, and go back to the?
Well, if you're going to make it 60, that's fine with me. Then the amendment becomes imperfect, obviously.
It just seems quite obvious, Mr. Chairman, that anybody who's been up here for over 20 years, or you see 60 years old, and he can get out and hunt fish, he deserves a free hunting license and a fishing license, I would think. How about those people who've been here for
forever?
Forever. We can't make it so that you will not allow those people to have it when they do become a fish. But here, everybody's been looking forward to 60 years old. That's a pretty good old ripe age, just for some of you fellows. it just seems only fitting and proper that those that are 60, regardless of their magnificence.
Some guys will never get ripe at 60.
So I'd like to keep it at 60 years old.
You want to keep it at 60, Joe?
Yeah.
You do, guys?
Yes.
You do? You do?
Board of one, we lose again.
We have a Democratic committee. Right?
1-4, you lose.
Well, rule one.
Change the language around to make it fit to 60. Well, we get, if you leave it at 60, if you leave it just the way it is that what you want to leave it?
Yep.
Sure. Then we don't need the language change, do we? Yeah, we do. No, we don't.
No, I think so.
Okay.
In reality, Mr. Chairman, all they've done is knock off the last 8 years.
I did.
It's a pure address.
Get you a refund if that's what you're looking for.
I'll get my refund.
Mr. Chairman, I think people who have already, what this gives the people is a permanent identification card. You're still allowed to go out and get that permanent identification card that will in the future give you I'm not too sure about a refund from this year.
Where do you go to get the permanent identification card? That's the next obvious question.
You get it from Commissioner Brevin. He has forms.
Who's the commissioner? Oh, I remember now. Well, you confirmed those days.
Yeah, you thought it confirmed.
Illegally, of course.
No comment, sir.
Well,
I have one question. Yeah. I don't let be parking on this. I'm not quite sure what committee I've talked on this before, but there's no Alaska Naval Militia. They don't exist. this line, which was put in 1972 by Representative Warwick from Fairbanks, and since then they haven't.
No. What do they have?
They don't have them.
Oh, yes, they do.
They know they do, sir.
Yeah, they do.
They don't.
Yeah, they. Right down here, they got boats down here. The Naval Militia has boats right down here.
They might have boats, don't have anybody operate them, because we can't find any Naval Militia.
Called Eagles Navy when they went down to see us.
Huh?
Eagles Navy, we should go.
Where is that located, then, Bill, sir?
Well, it speaks about Alaska. There's Alaska Army National Guard. There's Alaska Air National Guard. And it's reserve units of the United States Armed Forces.
But what is no what name. About the guy? There was.
There might be. There might have been, but they're not.
I still can't think locate there is,
them. We can't locate them. Nobody's ever applied for one of
well, them. Nobody's. Now that you've reminded me, find out if there's a militia.
There is, sir.
I'm sure there's a naval militia. I know there is.
No, there's been no loans taken out under that provision, and as far as my staff could determine by calling around the state, they couldn't find anybody or anyone who knew anything about a naval militia.
I heard Sheffield earlier this year mention naval militia.
I think it's just been on the creek.
Well, if he said so, there must be a
general
if there is, it will create one.
Relaxed community. I know that there's a naval militia. I know that.
Well, who's the admiral then?
General McPherson. Ship it over.
Okay. There's no naval militia, but you know, if you say there is, there is.
Well, let's leave it in there just in case. There is one section in here. Mr. Maynard, is that still in there about the stud that hunts there?
Brother and I have resident of the area and push the game license.
Yeah.
Still in there, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, well, here's one to address, fellas. Here we got one.
Section where?
Bounty not to be paid. No bounty may be paid to a person who does not maintain a permanent place of abode inside the game management unit, part of the game management unit, the animal is taken and the bounty is paid. Now that seems to me that if you have a bounty, that's a predator and it's an animal that you don't want around, and it shouldn't make any difference who shoots it. To be eligible for the bounty, yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, not only because that happened to fall into the category of what we were trying to change regarding residencies. And this did, in that it had, if you noted the bracket, for the immediate preceding year has not been maintained, or on line 21, has not continually maintained his, only because of those words were in there that we felt that we should address it, even though that particular statute has never been exercised by anyone at any time.
Mr. Mayor, would you rewrite that so that it doesn't make it any requirement that you have to be...
They should take it right out of the whole statute because it's totally...
What's the matter? Well, if you got a bounty on it, who cares where the hunter comes from? Yes?
Do you plan to change the title of the bill?
No.
Well, it's going to be difficult to make other substantive changes under the title that came over from the House.
Why?
In this, Mr. Chairman,
they changed this one.
In this particular section, if you wished it, you would be eliminating a residency requirement by taking out maintaining.
For the immediately preceding year is not maintained. You're taking the one out.
So you might want to delete sections half of sentence 17 through half of sentence 22.
Right.
So you would retain the requirement that a salary to fund the federal or state agency or a trophy hunt does not get the bounty.
Mr. Chairman, if you'd refer, please, to the analysis on page 2 of section 7, top of the page, it tells you exactly what our attorneys, counsels, had in mind when they did this.
Yeah, I know what they had in mind, but I mean, it doesn't make any sense.
Mr. Chairman, if we follow counsel's suggestion here, I don't think we have any problem with the title. What we do is eliminate any kind of
residency or abode, and all we're saying is that...
Change it around so that there's no residency required to be paid a bounty.
Right.
Except for simple residency.
Well, I think to be specific, we would, on line 17, after the word two, delete the balance of that line and the balance of the paragraph till line 22.
You shouldn't have any requirement on a year's residency or anything else. You might have an out-of-state hunter comes in and shoots a mountain lion.
That's correct.
And you're going to get $4 for it. So he goes and turns it in. Who cares? If there's a bounty on it.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, do you want the person to remain, to be, continue to be a resident of the state of Alaska?
Simple residency, yes.
30 days residency?
Yeah.
Yeah. But then you got these foreign hunters, and one of these guys shoots a predator. When they don't give
them. When they stay in Alaska for 30 days, simple residency. I give them a call.
Oh, what are we doing there?
Simple residency of 30 days. I don't even think you should have to be a resident. If you got a foreign hunter that comes in here and there's a predator and he shoots it, if he wants to go collect a bounty, who cares?
I agree.
So you're eliminating something you don't want. I don't care who does it, if you do it with a stick or a gun or anything else.
There's very few pieces of our animals or anything else that have a bounty on them right now. Anyway.
That's the question.
But we're thinking about putting one back on eagles.
But it's theirs, so we're not too long.
That's why we're getting the Eagle Preserve up there. We're going to get them all in one place. I mean, you didn't know that? Would you take care of that?
Yes. Is it the wish of the committee to... there's two residence requirements in there now.
Make it 30 days. Who cares?
Yeah, 30 days.
Why do we want to make it 30 days, Mr. Chairman?
Simple residence. You want it 30 days?
I want to what you want.
I don't want any 30
days.
Neither
do I.
You can't exclude, you can't, you know, everybody's got to come out of some kind of a residency in the state of Alaska. So why exclude a certain group from a 30-day
residency? A non-resident doesn't have to come under anything. You just have to pay the license. There's a non-resident license as opposed to a resident license.
Right. Only non-residents can claim bounties.
Yeah, only non-residents can claim bounties. That's what you have here right now, Bob. It's non-residents, you know.
Whatever your pleasure is, Mr. Chairman.
My pleasure is to throw the goddamn thing away, if you can tell you the truth.
Whatever you say, Mr. Chairman, that's all I would mean.
Not you, I mean the whole mess of residency is what I'm talking about.
Alaska, sir.
Just leave it alone, if we can't do it. But how many want 30 days residency on a bounty?
Did you raise your hand?
I didn't see.
No, I don't know.
I don't want 30 days residency.
You want 30 days residency? You want 30 days residency?
I don't want bounties, period.
What do you want?
I wish it would go away. I frankly don't care. If you want me to say I want 30 days, fine and dandy.
I don't care.
Let's just make it 5 years and we can go to court in that little deal, see what happens.
Let the Zobos win another.
Yeah.
Very relaxed committee, Mr. Chairman.
Do you find it uncomfortable to be here, sir?
No, I kind of like it.
That's one way not to be resident here.
I like it.
Okay. We just happen to be in a loose mood today. Tomorrow, Wednesday, might be entirely different.
I see a loose mood for a mood. I like that.
What do you guys want? You want 30 days?
Yep. I still want 30
days. Fritz?
No, I'd say anybody. Non-residents can get it.
We got a choice, huh?
It's up to you, Dick.
No.
Can I vote after you?
Mr. Chairman, I could care absolutely less.
I agree with you.
But you can't put in here a residency we don't give a... I don't quite fit.
Let your conscience be your
guide. It's been a bad day all day. But, anybody got a coin? I'll leave it to you, Mr. Boot. You're the sponsor here. Do you want 30 days or no?
I prefer the 30 days because that makes it
right.
Right
at 30
equal.
Days.
Thanks, Mitch.
Could you have his back,
Mr. Wednesday? Chairman?
Yes.
I have a couple questions on the student loan program as it is affected by this bill.
Oh, well, I'll go ahead.
Is that okay? The question I have is, what you've done is you've appealed 1443.130, the selection criteria, the point system.
Correct.
Now, I understand why you'd have to amend it, but why was it necessary to repeal the entire thing?
I don't think it really operates anyway. I think that that was designed to provide some priorities if the money wasn't there to fully fund the program. But I don't think they really apply the point system anyway.
The point system has never been applied, and it's so it was tied so intertwined with the residency portion of that point system that the whole thing was repealed in this particular bill. I think there is a possibility of doing something different, but you'd have to have a whole new point system or restructure the whole point system to take a more detailed look at it.
Mr. Chairman, yes. One more question. As long as we're talking about residency in this bill, I'm looking at, you don't have it in front of you, but I'm looking at 1443.125, which is eligibility of students, which isn't directly addressed in this legislation. But part of that says, if I might quote it, Mr. Chairman, that a person has to have been a resident of the state for at least 2 years at the time of the application for the loan. And they go on to state that you can qualify under that section if you're dependent on a parent or guardian, and your parent or guardian has been present in the state for at least 2 years, even though you might not have been present in the state for at least 2 years. It seems to me that...
What are you nodding at? That he's a good reader, or do you agree with it?
He's a good reader.
You don't have anything else?
That's what it does say.
Oh, okay.
But the point is, Mr. Chairman, the impact of this is that if a person is divorced and is paying child support to a dependent who's living outside, that dependent can qualify for a student loan even though they've never set foot in the state. And I'm wondering, would not this be an appropriate vehicle to address that problem if it is a problem?
I
don't
know.
Mr. Chairman, isn't there some rule or some age that you're no longer a dependent for dependent purposes, even though you're supporting a student outside?
I don't believe so.
You're not an, you're talking about an emancipated minor? That's one that doesn't live at home. That's not supported, but if this isn't an emancipated...
Tax groups.
Mr. Chairman, there are two bills that are going through, one in the House and one in the Senate. They're taking a comprehensive look at that section or making changes like that. I do not think they're on the Senate or House priority list. But there are a couple of bills that are looking at those residency requirements that have made such changes.
Senator Elias.
I just wondering if that would fit under the title of the bill.
Well, it's a question of residency. I think it would fit. And it says a person who is dependent on a parent or guardian for care. That's it. You can be 25 years old and be dependent on your parents for care if you're, you know.
If you're living at home.
Living at home. Or if you're receiving assistance from an Alaska resident who is your parent or guardian, and you've never been here before. You're dependent for them on your care. And I think it opens it up to lots of abuse. But that was...
Will you address that problem, Mr. Maynard, you and Senator Pettijohn?
We could. I assume that Ms. Senator Pettijohn wishes to have exception made from that general rule. I'm not in its place. You want no minors who both parents are in the state?
Well, I don't have anything specific in mind. I see it as a problem, and I'm looking to see if this is an appropriate vehicle to address it. I don't have a specific change in mind, but I think there is a problem.
Mr. Chairman, if there is a change to be made, I would like to see it on the basis that we would require the applicant to have been resident in Alaska previous to the 2 year period.
The 1 year immediately preceding.
Because you might have a child who says, Dad, I want to see the country and take a year off from school, and then he's not a, you know.
Or a 15 year old who the custody goes to the wife leaves the state. Yeah. But he grew up here, yeah. His dad's still here. You know, it's complicated, but.
What you're trying to reach is just the person who's never been here, yeah. Has no connection.
That's right.
And Dad moves to Alaska.
One of the preceding 5 years or 3 years, like you do in the with the fisherman loan, something along those lines?
Mr. Chairman?
Is that agreeable with the committee, something along those lines, like that, with the fisherman's loan, that it must have been present at least one out of the previous three, 2 years?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman?
Is that all right with you, Mr. Blue?
What are the, I mean, what is the residency test for in-state tuition charges at the university?
One-year continuous residency. Physical presence. I believe.
I would ask you, Senator Pettijohn, to check with Mr. Maynard on that one particular thing, and if you can come to a consensus on the same, put it in the bill. We'll take it up again on Wednesday for final passage. Okay?
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Booten, Mr. Maynard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Been entertaining and enlightening.
I have an experience, sir.
Good out.
Yes, sir.
Next order of business is proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska, limiting the length of regular sessions of the legislature.
I don't seem to have a folder.
Your senator, Liberty.
Can you change his mind?
Remind you of all the previous unpleasantness. If this bill would have been in effect, there would have been nothing, nothing would have happened, and one house could have just delayed it and circumvent the activity, or just keep the agreement for 3 days and go right on out without confirmation or anything else.
Well, Mr. Chairman, there's another point of view,
yes,
which is that with the 120-day known tangible deadline, we would conduct ourselves differently. For example, the public would be aware that the statutory or constitutional deadline was approaching, and there'd be more pressure to do certain things.
The vice chairmanship may be in jeopardy.
I can understand that, Senator Gilson, but I don't know. By just saying uniform rules, who cares?
No, Mr. Chairman, I'm talking about the language I'm proposing. I'm saying that I've always had the same anxiety that an individual in the legislature or a group of legislators could hold up essential action and just freeze the ball for 120 days. But
I'm not sure that your new language would fit under the title.
But we've never done that. I'm not talking about the new language. I'm talking about the principle. We've never tried it, and I think it's just as plausible that with a 120-day limit, everybody would be motivated to do things more quickly.
I understand. I agree. I agree with your I'm looking at your new language, Senator Joseph, and I've taken it under consideration. I don't think it fits under the title. I mean, all seriousness, you know, I looked at it, and I don't think it was stretching. I would like to see it. I would like to see a constitutional amendment. In fact, I'll co-sponsor it with you if you go ahead and do it. That confirmations, put two or three of them, confirmations must be addressed by the 100th day or 110th day or 100th day at least.
I think that would be received in the other body as some kind of a.
Well, next year I talk about it. I don't mean right now. And I'm not using it as a, but, and then if we put in, of course you're going to hamstring everybody. If you start putting deadlines on when the budget's supposed to come down and no more additions to the budget and all that stuff, but you, above all now, since you've been indoctrinated in the budget procedures, knows how many last-minute changes you got. And then something comes up that you don't even anticipate. The next thing, you have to go back in there and dig around and change a whole, maybe a whole category, you know? Did you want to continue with your...
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think that, again, I apologize for not bringing it, but the NCSL report does indicate that there are many legislatures that have the external deadline and internal deadlines as well. If I can't offer this language here, I'll try to do it on the floor, but
Well, the only reason I'm saying that you can't, is that I don't think you should offer it at all, is I don't think it fits under the title.
Well, I have to.
Well, do you feel it fits under the title, though? That's my only argument. I'm not arguing to entertain it as an amendment someplace. I don't care about that, but I just don't think it fits under the title.
I have to defer that to the people who've had to address and prepare prior opinions on the titles that they raised tonight.
What does that mean?
Well, it means...
All I ask is if you're going to propose the amendment or not.
Yeah, I have to.
Here?
Well, here if I can. Could I? We have the uniform rules here. We look at the uniform rules.
I'm looking at the title.
Just a minute.
It's a joint resolution which is being treated the same as bills. If it was a concurrent, you can change the title in 5 minutes, so there'll be no argument. But all joint resolutions can be treated exactly the same as bill. Three readings, the whole bit. How many here approve of the language?
The language?
Of the language that Senator Joseph's putting in. How many approve? Hold up your right hand. And I'll see if we can fit it.
I might clarify my opinion's clarification though. Now the House is back in session where they can address any change we make on this side. I have the reservations I had before relative to some amendments made by some chairs or this committee.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm just talking about the substance of the deal. In any event, Senator Jolson, mm-hmm. I don't think it fits under there. And I would personally request you to put it in to put it up for the consideration of the body. If the body considers it, we'll go in there. I'll not consider it.
Okay.
If that's agreeable. Without malice.
No, I mean, I don't.
Without prejudice.
I'm somewhat happier to offer it on the floor than here, but I just wanted to offer it here as a courtesy.
How many under the state affairs? None of you would like to extend it for more than one 10-day session with an affirmative vote of at least 2/3. You, Richie? Even in light of what you saw that happened this year?
Well. No, I think, you know, the sword cuts both ways. I think that there are people who could hold other legislation hostage, waiting for somebody else to cave in after you get to 160, 170, 180 days too. So, you know, it works both ways.
Yeah, but individuals can hold it. But when you have a whole house that's holding it, whether it's the Senate or the House, blackmailing the other one on time, don't get it.
Well, all I know is that the public's in support of it, and I am also.
What was the vote on that? Do you remember on that?
Which precinct?
No, the total vote. How many people voted on it?
Roughly 75, well, what, statewide, I guess, was 75% voted in favor of it.
Numbers.
6,758
for and 2,926
against.
Out of 150,000 voters, I wouldn't say that was much of a showing.
If you have, Mr.
60. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, really, if you have any doubt that there's support out there, why don't you have a teleconference on the bill?
I don't have that much time to have it. Do you want to have a teleconference?
I'm not determined, but I mean, if you have some doubt.
Do I have a request in the committee to have a teleconference on it?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
To answer your question, I would not object to additional extensions, but that...
Two-thirds is two-thirds, you know. That's pretty hard to get two-thirds. In the temperament, if everybody wants to go home, two-thirds is pretty tough to get on this side.
I agree. Mr. Chairman, I do think there's broad public support, and I think the public will take this in their own hands unless the legislature does something. And finally, it's pretty hard to, after 25 years of experience, argue against it when we haven't ever tried it. It really happens.
And, Mr. Chairman, yes? One other observation. It seems to me that obviously the public can't get at the issue through a referendum. However, in their frustration, they're also introducing a referendum which would terminate per diem on 90 days, and the message being therein, we want to limit on the session, so...
That's the Chamber of Commerce in downtown Anchorage, and you know where that comes from.
Nevertheless, it'll be on the ballot.
Well, we had one from the Indians. We're going to have Venati on there, too, as a sovereign republic. Does that make any difference? Let's be rational in our arguments.
The argument being is that they want to limit on session. I don't know how you can rationalize that any differently.
That isn't rational.
I just have this to say on the subject. I don't want to get into a big debate or anything, but you keep referring to the events of the last 2 weeks in this city as evidence of the pernicious effect that this might have if adopted. And my counter argument is until this is adopted, we are subject to this experience being repeated in the years ahead, and one of the distasteful one everyone's gone through this year. I think that's the perception of the people that I represent.
Well, I don't get your argument. I don't even get the basis of it. I mean, I don't, Fritz. I mean, what are you saying? If we don't pass a session limitation, we're going to have the confirmations every year, or it's going to be held up? Or that's one reason I don't follow with me. Maybe that's just somebody else, but I don't understand. Sir?
I think that what is, if you will permit me, Senator, I think that what's meant is that we saw short tempers, bad feelings, issues about whether we could go home when the business was done, that a limitation might avoid a lot of those problems. It might also encourage people to stand for legislative seats who don't want to because they don't know whether they're coming to Juneau for 90 days or 120 days or 60 days.
If that's your argument, that has a standing. I mean, as far as a person knew exactly how many days, but I don't know. If you think there are better people up there than you are, then you shouldn't run.
No, Mr. Chairman, I wasn't referring to District G.
You were referring to his district. I see.
Mr. Chairman, there may be better people up there than I am, but they won't run the way it is now.
That's a major concession on your part.
It's just a possibility.
We'll see next year if there's better people up there than me. Won't you come up next year?
Yep.
I mean, you really find out next year if there is. Or
well,
at least
the
they think that there's better people
right,
up there.
Right.
I don't care what you do with it. It's up to you guys.
Well, I move the bill out with individual recommendations. Or rather, resolution out.
This is the State
Senate,
Affairs?
Senate Committee?
Yeah, State Affairs.
State Affairs.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, 1, 2, 3, I'm going to need 11 more. How many move it out? How many want to move it out? How many do pass? How many no rec? How many do not pass?
Mm-hmm.
two and one, what do you call that?
Well, I'm going to sign do pass it amended. That's better.
I'm going to sign do pass whether amended or not.
But I'll sign if amended too.
I guess we could squeeze it in and with a do pass. Mm-hmm. We got three guys. Even though it's modification. In my policy, 19 years. I don't think I could count the people if I, on one hand, that have ever come to me and have been made a serious remark about limiting decisions.
That must have something to do with the reputation for open-mindedness, Mr. Chairman.
Good. They've asked me for everything else, from getting them a divorce to fixing their culverts and shoveling their snow, and they don't have any problem with that. Like that last year, I had to get the snow plowed. I had to hire a guy out there to get it out. Jeez. It's terrible. Well, let's see. How about committee substitute for House Bill 352? Senator Ziegler, this might be one for you. Relating to the definition of death. Can you handle that?
Yeah, I went through this once before. What's the number?
House Bill 352.
As a matter of fact, I was chairing this committee when we had the original bill several years ago, where we got the current definition of death.
Committee substitute for how? I thought you did. That's what I was talking about. Committee substitute for House Bill 271, repealing an appropriation made to Agricultural Action Council, making special appropriations to and for the operation of the Alaska Grain Reserve. I'll handle that.